When MFK Fisher died in 1992, she left enough unpublished essays, letters, and journal entries to fill three posthumously published books. The first two books in the trilogy, To Begin Again and Stay Me, Oh Comfort Me, revisited Fisher's childhood and her early years as a writer and wife in France. The final volume, entitled Last House, has just been published, and it traces Fisher's life into the 1980s, when she battled Parkinson's disease, arthritis, and cataracts to keep writing. Book critic Maureen Cargan has a review of Last House and some thoughts on Fisher's legacy.
In the summer of 1927, the 19-year-old MFK Fisher wrote in her diary, "I'm just a mumbler in life." With the exception of a few more late adolescent moans, this diary entry surely must have been the last false thing MFK Fisher ever wrote. When she died at the age of 83, most of the obituaries quoted W.H. Auden, who once called Fisher America's greatest writer. In over 25 books of essays and memoirs, Fisher wondered aloud about the basic human hungers for food, sex, companionship, art, travel, and transcendence. She was anything but a mumbler. Even with her mouth full of truffle pâté, she spoke with passionate clarity. But occasionally, Fisher did murmur. Her voice would soften when she spoke of the breakup of her first marriage and the tragic death of her second husband, the painter Dilwyn Parrish. Fisher refused to edit out life's viler episodes from her autobiographical writing, a decision that safeguarded those pieces from lazy nostalgia. And so it's fitting that Last House, her final collection, should confront one of the nastiest subjects of all, old age. The book opens with a couple of raw essays from the 1950s in which a youngish Fisher confesses to the loathing she sometimes feels for her own senile father. Fisher writes, "Rubbing his feet, I could feel my hatred flow like bile through my fingertips into his strangely warm, knobby, venous toes, ankles, and calves." But in the blink of an eye, the dutiful daughter becomes an old woman herself. In a 1981 essay entitled Frustration, Fisher announces, "I really am very ready to stop going through the increasingly difficult motions of being an upright human person. I do not want to eat or drink ever again." Other sketches describe Fisher's bowel movements, vomiting habits, and the bad drugged sleep she suffered in hospitals. The intense scrutiny Fisher once trained on food and other people is turned inward here on her own crumbling body. Last House is not in the running to become one of my favorite MFK Fisher collections. She herself used the quaint term glory hole to characterize the book, meaning a Fibber McGee-type closet where you cram all sorts of stuff. Some of these cast-offs turn out to be salvageable. There's a moving reflection on her undiminished sexual yearning for Dilwyn Parrish. There's also an essay that begins, "I am thinking now about some of the best meals in my life." To Fisher lovers, it's worth the price of this book just to find out how she follows up that tantalizing sentence. But many of these pieces read like entries from a writer's diary, quick attempts to capture images that were never developed into insights. And okay, I'll own up to being shallow. I'd rather read Fisher's shimmering descriptions of the fish markets of Marseille than her complaints about hip surgery. The year before she died, Fisher was interviewed by Bill Moyers, who asked her if she had done everything she wanted to do in life. "I never did enough," she replied. "Never enough." Last House may be an uneven collection, but knowing that it's the last new book we'll ever have by MFK Fisher, I keep thinking of her reply to Moyers. "Never enough. Never enough."
Maureen Cargan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Last House by MFK Fisher.